Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we review Transformers Unicron Issue 2. You can now download the Bumblebee movie app for your smartphone, and a new clip for Transformers Cyberverse appears online. Today is Friday, August 24th, 2018, and this is episode 91 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that absolutely will sell out to the highest bidder. I'm your host, Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko. I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team, Yusuf, better known as Yoshi.
Yo!
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey! Let's talk Transformers.
And Charles is on assignment this week. So we don't have any new donations this week to talk about.
Shame on all of you.
Yeah. Well, we just did give away roughly $1,500 Canadian worth of stuff. So, I mean, that's like, what, like a $1.50 US?
Mm-hmm.
I could have bought a gumball with that $1.50.
Yeah, but if you watch trips to the store or listen to Transmissions this week, we are doing another contest. So, Daryl, why don't you tell people about it?
Yeah, so we decided that we're going to give away something else, not going to take as long as the last one, and we're going to give away a reissue Starscream. I went to my local Walmart and grabbed one, and... yeah, there might be something else coming along that we're going to give away at the same time. This contest is going to be over at the end of September, so you have until the end of September to get in on it. The date of the drawing will be on
September 30th.
September 30th, and the episode that it will go up on is 297, so that will be available on Wednesday, October 3rd.
And if you win and you are going to be at TFCon Chicago, we can just give it to you there.
That's right.
And this is easier on everybody.
This is a Patreon or Donatrion only contest once again. So if you were a Donatrion and you left, time to get back on that. Because this is going to be a nice quick contest.
All right. Well, with that, we will move on. There's no comic news this week, so we will go straight into our comic review. And we will be reviewing Unicron number 2 this week. This is written by John Barber, art by Alex Milne, colors by Sebastian Ching, letters by Tombi Long, editor David Mariette, and publishers Greg Goldstein. And we have 4 covers this week. Cover A, I would say, is Starscream's Brigade. And this is by Alex Milne and Josh Perez. And it is basically Starscream surrounded by kind of his allied people. You have like Alita 1, basically all the different counselors, but it looks like they're aligned with him. And Unicron looming in the back. Cover B is part of the James Reyes... monolith piece of art that he's putting together. This one shows Bumblebee, Starscream, Visionary, Mask Guy, some other people with Unicron in the background. And this will be a combining cover with the other covers that he's done. Retail Incentive A has Optimus, Windblade, and Bumblebee looking like they're, preparing to face somebody. And this is by James Reyes and David Garcia. Or sorry, the cover B was by James Reyes and the colors were by David Garcia Cruz. This one, Retail Incentive A, is by Casey Collar and Jean-Paul Beauvais. And then Retail Incentive B is just a Bumblebee with Unicron in the background. And it is by Francisco Francavilla. So, Yoshi, of these 4, which one do you think you prefer the best?
It's funny. I have a favorite artist of these 4. And even though this person is my favorite, I find it funny how rarely I choose them.
With that said, I'm going to go with cover B, James Reyes, because I like what he's doing with this. It's not quite to me his normal style, and it's unique, and it's rendering out this version of Transformers in just an interesting way to me. I really dig it.
It's very heavy inks.
Yes. Well, that's part of his thing too,
though. Right.
But I feel like he's doing things around the mouths and the eyes that none of the artists have been or had ever done. And it's just interesting. It's, I don't know.
Yep.
When I compare this to some art I've bought from him, I can tell how it's so different and yet the same, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And you did pick the one cover that has something obscuring part of the logo.
Yes, yes. I knew you were going to point that out. And after I picked it, I looked to see if it was obscuring. So I was going to say that. But yeah, you're right. I did do that.
Cool. Daryl, what about you?
Well, I can, because this book has been out for a while, I can say that I bought three of these four covers. I got to say, the Alex Milne cover is phenomenal with the detail that's in here. After reading the book, I mean, I think probably a couple of these characters don't actually appear in the book, but I still think the detail on it is fantastic. It's like a broken record, really. I don't know whether Alex has done shit work that we've come across anyway, but the James Reyes one is really good. I'm anxiously awaiting getting all six covers and putting it together.
Right.
And I did also buy the Casey Collar one as well. The Casey one, though, I was looking at it again here just now and thinking it's Casey's, but it really doesn't look like his work. You know, it's slightly different.
I think it's the new alternate or the new, designs of the characters.
Right. Must be that then, yeah.
That's, I mean, definitely in the Bumblebee, but even in the Prime. And Windblade seems to be Windblade regardless.
Mm-hmm. Also, the colors seem a little bit more flat and not as like cel-shaded.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's, I know it's his work, but it's something about it that just doesn't look right. And it must be the new character designs.
You know, if James's and Casey's were just line art and not colored, I think I'd probably pick Casey's. But something I'm noticing as you're talking, Daryl, is that Casey's is heavily textured by the colorist. It was Beauvais,
JP.
Right? Yeah, it's just super heavily textured. Mm. Maybe I subconsciously steered away from it because of that.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway,
but, I mean, it's just like just so not shying away from it. The windows, the guns, the sword, the background. I mean, it's just textured fucking galore.
Sure.
I'm done.
Yeah. No, but I like Alex's. And what about you, Jeremy?
I have to agree with Alex's. I mean, I also really like the Casey Collar one. But I picked up the Alex one. And one thing I really like, and I'm guessing this is more of Josh than Alex, is the way that Unicron looks. You can tell that it's supposed to be like a hologram behind them, like on the conference table or whatever. And that effect really comes across, not as much on the, when I'm looking at this, you know, like in the review copy, but on paper, it really comes across really well. I like that. With that, let's move into the book itself. Taking advantage of the recent situation with the chaos in Cybertron, Starscream is laying out his plan to destroy Unicron to the people of Cybertron. With a remnant of the Decepticon army that never returned, he's now using this massive Decepticon Vengeance Division, as he's calling it, and they've been able to track Unicron and have trapped him in a large stasis web. On the surface of Cybertron, Aileron is working through the loss of Kaminus as RC tries to comfort her when Bumblebee interrupts them to ask RC why she said this can't be when they saw an Omega Sentinel inside of Unicron. It reminded RC of a time during Cybertron's expansion when she stood by the Sentinels, and she's not proud of that era. thanking RC for the tip, Bumblebee and Aileron run off to see Omega Supreme, the only other bot that's old enough to know about this. Unfortunately, Omega has been offline since the time that Bumblebee was leading Cybertron, and Bee doesn't know if he can actually talk to him, but once Bee touches Omega's face, his face goes dark as well, and Aileron doesn't know what's happening. Nearby, the torchbearers are watching Pyromagna as she's holding onto the Mistress of Flame's forge hammer. It was given to her by the mistress before her sacrifice, so she wouldn't forget of so Pyro wouldn't forget her duty. But Pyro stabs it into the ground, knowing that she'll never forget, even if she tries. In the council chambers, Starscream reveals that he's kept Bludgeon alive and had sent him to find other Decepticons that had never come back after the war. Starscream also tells the council about Shockwave's plan to have Unicron destroy Cybertron, as the energon supply has been tainted and will kill Unicron. As the council argues plans, Windblade wants to use the combined forces of Starscream and Optimus's fleets, and Starscream doesn't want to share. While they're arguing this, they get a call on the radio from Chromia on board the Starship Saber. They had lost contact with her, and she said that she's near Starscream's fleet and that they had been attacked by the Maximals and have only just now been able to repair their communications. Chromia reports that the Decepticons are attacking Unicron with everything they have. Suddenly, Unicron disappears, and a horde of Maximals head toward the Decepticons, as Bludgeon reveals his true allegiance, which is to Unicron. The Maximals invade his ship and reveal their true forms as the final evolution of the Decepticons. Inside Omega Supreme's mind, Bumblebee sees a history that's been forgotten, a world that's tearing itself apart by war has created a doomsday device. Once it was triggered, it destroyed the whole star system. In other worlds, such as Prismos, as it released its energies through space and time. The energies mutated the inhabitants of this world, as they were killed, into ghosts, or wraiths, as they were now. And these wraiths fled to other systems. In the planet star system, a lone planet remained. Speaking a single word, Unicron, through Bumblebee, Omega Supreme dies. Aileron is finally able to wake up Bumblebee as something is happening outside. They look up to see Unicron is transforming into a giant robot, and they race to find Windblade and Optimus. Bumblebee finally knows what Unicron is and how to stop it. They all have to die. And that is the end of the book. It wasn't very action-packed at all. This is issue 2, so it's very, like, a lot of exposition. I do like that we got Bludgeon's his kind of heel turn now rather than later, so they didn't draw that out. Interesting to see that the Maximal designs now look more like Liege Maximo. Some of the scenes that didn't really seem to have much to do with the story, like the torchbearer scene could be, you know, that's set up for something else. But the art in the book was, you know, fantastic as always. The coloring was, I thought it was really good. There are some scenes that were like when the Decepticons are attacking Unicron, there's just so much going on in that one panel. Alex just kind of outdid himself. And then you have like the Maximals when they're attacking. Daryl, what did you think of this book?
It was very good. The lack of action, it kind of picks up at the end. I like the scene where Chromia, they kind of catch up with Chromia, and she just happens to be upon the giant armada of fucking ships, and she says, "Oh, they're acting rashly." Well, every ship in the fucking fleet is shooting on Unicron,
right?
And from the explosion comes all the Maximals. It that scene is pretty awesome, and I do like. I'm trying to remember what movie it is. It reminds me of a movie where they don't stop and attack the attacking ships. They just crash into them. It's, you know, you can see the Maximals crashing through the bridge windshield kind of thing, and just like, you know, it's it's a pretty cool scene there. Having Bumblebee being able to communicate with Omega Supreme by simply touching him was odd, I have to say. I thought that there would have to be some other kind of way, perhaps, you know, turning, asking Windblade to come in because she is a city speaker. You know, perhaps there's some kind of communication that she can do. That's what I thought was going to have to happen. This seemed too easy to get the answers that they
very
wanted.
Very much Deus Ex Bumblebee.
Yeah. So I wasn't exactly happy with the way that kind of came out. And have just Omega Supreme just die after that. I thought that was kind of a waste. I've always liked Omega Supreme as a character.
He hasn't really been used since like 2013.
Yeah. So I was hoping for him to kind of come back into the fold at the end here and be a valuable piece in the fight. I guess they gotta wipe some characters off the table here. So there goes another one. The beginning part of the issue was, you know, Starscream and he just showing he had some, or maybe I'm confusing the books here. No, I am confusing the books. Yeah, no, I'll just leave it at that then. I was pretty happy with the way it looked. The art is just, it's fantastic because it is Alex, you know, being Alex and doing, you know, Alexy things. he almost has no equal when it comes to the Transformers books. If when this is over, if he doesn't have work, I'm going to be very upset.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even his organics look really good.
They do.
I mean, the flashback scene, you know, these alien creatures look really good.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Well, Yoshi, what do you think of the book?
I feel we are suffering from the same thing we suffer from these one-off books or these multi-book story arcs, which is, we just hit the beginning of a filler to me, because what's got me turning the pages is the art. The art is, Alex is just, wow, is the only word for this. Like, especially the last page, like I want to order him a hand massage because ouch. I mean, that hurts just looking at it when you see all the detail that went into it. Though I think maybe my favorite page of art is, let me find it here real fast, is probably the bottom of page 14, where just Bumblebee's eyes go black, like that whole background and his face is just, that's all Alex. And that's just gorgeous. I you're going through the review and I'm like getting ahead of you, 'cause I just want to keep seeing more of the art. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I just feel like we're hitting what happens when these guys do a multi-story arc like this. It's like, oh, we're going to have about two or three issues of filler here, because I just feel like a planet should have been engulfed in that amount of time or something.
A lot of this is also just wrapping up continuity, like Omega Supreme, you know, that's just been a lingering continuity thread.
It was such a pussy way for him to go out. I don't, you know, it's more like we gotta make sure every character that's going out, rather than giving them the going out they deserve, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The only good redeeming factor about his going out in such a piss poor way is that it's done so beautifully by Alex's hand. It's just, I don't, you know, I really can't stand the textures. I'm trying not to say it, but that's pulling me out of this. But he really, even though he went out in such a piss poor way, he went out beautifully, visually. So yeah, I hope I'm wrong. I hope things kind of kick into a higher gear with the next issue. But I feel like this is what we're just encroaching on another some here before the last issue, which I really hope I'm fucking wrong. And everybody can say, I don't know what I'm talking about next time we do a Unicron review.
Well, what do you guys, both of you, what do you think about the retcon or the way that John tied in all the like the ROM, Dire Wraiths, Visionaries and stuff, all with this Unicron origin, where the Dire Wraiths were the aliens that created Unicron, like they were turned into Dire Wraiths. Unicron's it, like that formation, that explosion is what killed the Visionaries planet. And I mean, it just, it seems like you know, now it's at the end of the episode, who really cares? But he tied it all together, you know, in a way I wasn't expecting.
I'm fine with it. It's like, I'm not really invested in the ROM's timeline, though. So he could have given them any origin story, and I'd have been fine with it, really.
And because he gave it that origin story, and he involved all of that stuff, to me, it came off forced.
Yeah.
The part of it is you went into it like, well, wait a minute. So does this technically make Bumblebee a Titan speaker? A fucking, what do they call that?
City speaker.
City speaker. Does that make him a city speaker? And what would have been really cool, is if when he came out of that mind meld, Windblade was standing there, Windblade was standing there going like, what the fuck? That's my job.
Yeah, well, Windblade's leader of the planet, so.
Right. I know. It's just, I felt like those two things didn't help for me.
Yeah. And one last thing I wanted to bring up with you guys was the robot mode of Unicron. When we had talked with Alex, he had mentioned how he redesigned it, and I think this is our first really good look in the story pages, where the big kind of planet-consuming piece of Unicron in planet mode, like the big mouth, is his chest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a departure from the typical depictions of Unicron. What do you guys think of that?
I like it.
It works for this universe, for this version of Unicron. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's probably me so married to the G1 shit saying that, but I think it works. That's a fantastic update to his face. It's a fantastic update to basically his whole style, if you will. You know, now that I'm staring at it because you brought it up, it's hard not to make comparisons to who's the fucking one? You know what I'm talking about? The one that's got the chest.
The guy on the DJD.
Yeah, DJD. That guy. You know, it's hard not to do that comparison. But, you know, what else are you going to do?
Yeah. All right. Well, before we wrap up this book, there is a backup story. I'm not going to go in. Yeah. And it's a G.I. Joe backup story.
Huh.
I'm not going to go into the, you know, as detailed of a review, but it's called Last Stand, and it's written by David Rodriguez. Art is by Nelson Daniel, lettered by Tom B. Long, edited by David Mariette. And you have Scarlet and Roadblock. I believe that's Roadblock. They're kind of pinned down. They're in the Lemuria, which is the Decepticon ship that was underneath the ocean. This is in Alaska. They're running out of ammo. They're about to, they're housing some people in there that are basically refugees escaping. They say space invaders. They're Cybertronians. We see a Beast Wars depth charge there, which is an odd choice for a character. You see other, the rest of the G.I. Joe team, they're all being bandaged up. They're not doing good. The Cybertronians are making their way in. And just before Scarlet and Roadblock make their last stand, Skywarp and Helix show up to basically save the day. And this is basically the wrapping up of the G.I. Joe part of the continuity. They're going through each of these issues of Unicron. Have the creative team that did those books, obviously there's a significant person missing from the G.I. Joe creative team. But they get to kind of wrap up their corner of the universe. So, you guys have any thoughts on the G.I. Joe story here?
Nope.
It's nice that it's all tied in and that they're trying to give it a closure.
Mm-hmm. You're not the biggest G.I. Joe fan. No. I know. Yeah.
We didn't want this anyways, though, Jeremy. You got to keep that in mind. Nobody wanted this Hasbro milk.
Right.
It's nice, but it's nice for the fact that it was nice of them not to be so dickish they didn't include it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's not something you typically get when a comic book company wraps up something. Typically, it's just like, yep, it's over. You know, new stuff is starting.
Yeah.
So it is nice that they are kind of giving a nice little bow on each of the different areas. And then just to kind of wrap up the book completely, there's an interview with Nick Roach and Shane McCarthy in the back, talking about their various eras with, you know, Nick, he's talking about the Wreckers, and Shane McCarthy is talking about All Hail Megatron, and they're pretty good reads, and that's That's the book. So Unicron number 2. It's been out for a while. We are slowly making our way through because we know that there's going to be a dearth of comics at some point. So we are trying to pace ourselves. And that is the comic review. So let's move on to media news.
All right, in media news this week, did you ever want to buy a Willy's Jeep? Did you ever want to buy a Willy's Jeep that was used in a movie? How about a movie about Transformers? Well, you can now. There's a Willy's Jeep that was used during the making of Bumblebee the movie, and it is being put up for auction at screenused.com. And right now it is up for auction. The auction is $15,000 is the opening bid. I'm trying to see what the when it's going to start. Maybe I missed that in the article.
And just so people know, like they can picture it, the Willy's Jeep is your traditional World War II era Jeep.
Yeah, that's right.
And this one was custom made for the movie. So it's not like you're getting a World War II era vehicle.
Mm-hmm. And it was used in the first scenes of the movie. So there's a little bit of spoilery details there.
That ties in with last night, though, where you saw Bumblebee in World War II.
Yeah. So no real... Oh, the auction goes live on August 25th at 10 a.m. Pacific. So there you go. $15,000 is the opening bid. So if you've got that cash, you know, lying around...
The vehicle starts and drives well.
There you go. Up next, Bumblebee the movie Vision app is now available on iTunes and Google Play. You can go ahead and download that. It's a game you can play on your phone, and it allows you to use your phone to look at stuff around your house and play a game based on Bumblebee and what he sees. So take a look at that. Up next, Cyberverse Action Attackers commercial and promotional campaign is in Singapore. So this is a commercial that I was able to watch because there's one that I can't. So this is get more whoa out of your toys. They show off the new line Action Attackers, and they have Grimlock, Optimus, Bumblebee, Megatron, and Starscream in here, and they show the kid transforming Bumblebee and Grimlock in it. And at the end of the commercial, when he uses the action function on the Grimlock, a cartoon-esque Bumblebee kind of looks over the back of the couch and is like, whoa. So, yeah. Anyway, it's kind of neat. The commercial's fun for kids and such. So take a look at that. And lastly, Cyberverse clip. It's called the Scout Ship. It's region locked. So if you're outside of the U.S., you're going to have a shit time watching it. Anybody in America can watch this. That's it for media news.
All right. Well, let's move on to convention news. And we have a couple things in convention news. The first thing is John Paul Beauvais is going to be attending Cons X in Germany. That's CONS, and I'm assuming the X is 10. This is September 2nd, 2018. This is, I think he's been to this convention many times. I think mm-hmm. we've talked about this before. It is at, and Charles, of course, isn't here for the Germany story. This is at Kopenhaus and Josefhaus, Ostring 33. It's in the story. If you're in Germany, Dominic, I don't know if we have any other German listeners other than Dominic, but check out the story. Go to the convention. There's a very funny image of JP advertising it with the five faces of JP.
It looks like he's got some, or he's been showing off on Twitter some new framed light up art he's been working on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's making its debut at that convention. So that's really fucking cool.
Oh,
it was a TFation this week.
Oh, gotcha.
And he he also, you know, being a collaborator with Casey on a lot of stuff, I think he usually has some prints where Casey does the lines and JP does the colors. And typically he also does some like coloring work for like if you have some line art, he does like commissioned coloring work. So, you know, watch on Twitter, see what he's offering, and, you know, hit him up. And now with the other half of the JP Casey team, Casey Collar is going to be at TFCon Chicago.
What?
Yeah.
Nice.
So we've recently seen his work in Lost Light, and he's probably going to have some of those pages there if the people at TF Nation didn't buy them all. And he's done a number of things going back to Charles's $20 All Hell Megatron cover. Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Casey again. We've become friends with Casey and got to scare him with my driving last time at TFCon Chicago.
You didn't just scare him.
Mm-hmm. But he was the important one. Ouch. Thankfully, I will not have a car at TFCon Chicago this year. You don't have to worry.
Thank you, Jeremy's wife.
So anyway, looking forward to seeing Casey. And that is it for convention news this week. So let's move on to some feedback.
So you too can leave us feedback by going to transmissionspodcast.com/feedback. There you can leave us voicemails. You can send us emails. You can talk to us on MySpace or Friendster. We'll definitely get back to you right away.
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. but this week, the famous world-renowned Dr. Pants has left us a voicemail, Jeremy. Do you want to hit play on that for us?
Sure.
Hey, guys, it's Dr. Pants with some feedback for you, specifically for Alt Mode episode number 88. I really, really enjoyed this episode. I always enjoy the episodes. I always enjoy the discussion. But this episode in particular where you had Hannibal on, the discussion you all got into after the comic book review about the storylines in comic books being now stretched out over multiple issues and comics don't go single issue stories anymore. That discussion between all of you and why some of you like it, why some of you hate it was really, really fascinating. And I agree on all fronts between both sides, because in all honesty, I do enjoy comics that have really long running storylines. But as a person who read comic books back when he was in elementary school and everything, I miss comic books that were single issues I could just pick up and read and just enjoy. So I can see both sides, but the discussion was really, really interesting and really hit home because I feel a lot of the same things too. So thank you guys for that awesome discussion. But along those lines, I did have a question. I wanted to know, for all of you who are into comic books and maybe specifically the Transformers comic books, how often do you all go back and reread issues? And do you just reread single issues? Do you start from the beginning and read through the entire series? Do you just read storylines? I was just wondering how you guys go about that. Thanks again for everything, guys. Really, really appreciate it. And I'll talk to you later.
That is a fantastic question. Let's start with Daryl, since you don't use any archiving material. How do you go through and decide to read through your back issues?
Oh, well, since I don't use any archival stuff, I'm unable to go back because they disintegrate as soon as I put them down.
That's unfortunate, dude. That's like burning money.
No, I actually, with regards to Transformers ones specifically, I don't. I very rarely do go back and reread them. I remember once I finished my G1 run, I went back and I read them 1 to 80 because I wanted to have the experience of reading them right through. But with regards to everything else I have, I will go back and I will read storylines or crossover events, stuff like that, that I remember being very good. I've reread the original Old Man Logan a couple times because it's just a phenomenal storyline. I've been meaning to do a couple others. I've read Watchmen a couple times because it's quite good. So there's a couple. I have Batman's Hush on my list because I finally completed it in single issues and I've been looking forward to reading it. So yeah, there's a couple that I'm looking forward to going back and reading. But yeah, as almost a general rule, I have so much that I buy new that I very rarely have an opportunity to go back and reread. So I could possibly stop buying new and be good on old books for quite some time.
Good answer. Jeremy, how about you?
Well, back when I had a commute, I did a lot more rereading of old stuff because I would like take the bus in the morning and that'd be like half an hour where I could just sit there and reread. And I would go through the IDW stuff. Like, I think I went through that like three or four times up to the point of where we were. And now 3 years since I've had a commute, so many more books have come out. That's not really easy anymore.
Right.
And plus I don't have a commute, so I don't really have the time, but I do go back and reread old issues mainly for context these days where we're reviewing a new book and I'll go and check the wiki for the reference and then go like look at the old issues just for the context. But I do want to, before this is all said and done, reread at least like More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise, and then, you know, Optimus Prime and Lost Light from start to finish. But it's going to be tough, and I'm probably not going to be able to. But regarding non-Transformers stuff, I reread Death of Superman every couple of years. I mean, going back to high school, that's just a book that I've read numerous times.
Yeah.
Crisis on Infinite Earths, I like that. Kingdom Come is something I tend to go back to. That's an amazing story. Watchmen, I actually did not read until just a few years ago. Like, I was aware of it and I'd seen the movie, but I didn't actually sat down and read it until a few years ago. But I don't think that's something that I would reread very much. Okay. So, yeah, that's pretty much it, I think. How about you?
Well, you guys know I'm taking forever full read of the whole series. Right now on issue 7 of G2, and if you follow me on social media, you can see my slow but steady progress on that. You know, and ever since I did that, did those reviews on my website, like I get a surprising number of random questions emailed to me from people where I have to go back and reread an issue. So I'm doing a fair amount of rereading, which is kind of nuts, before I've even completed like a solid reread from beginning to end. I've probably got, including comics, I've probably got 5 books/comics I've got bookmarked and I'm reading through at any given time. I've reread Watchmen quite a few times because I really dig that. That tends to also have a heavy influence on the comics I keep. If I don't think I'm going to reread a comic I've bought, I'll trade it back in at the store or give it to somebody or what have you. I know plenty of comic fans in Alaska that were friends of mine that just don't have a comic book store, so I'll send them the shit I'm not going to reread. I try to only hang on to stuff I intend to reread. And, I'm going to say this because it's on top of my head, but the recent He-Man versus Thundercats was fucking fun. I love that. Mm-hmm. Issue story arc. I've already reread that once. I just dig it.
They've just started Injustice versus Man of the versus Masters of the Universe. That's,
you know, I can't. I want to, but I just can't back that version of the DC heroes.
Oh.
I can't do it. I should. It's lame that I don't, but I don't. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Where's what's on my shelf? I got rid of Hush, Daryl, because Hush for me is good until the end review, and then I can't stand it.
Well, I've never read it, so.
Oh, okay. The art's amazing, but the end reveal killed that for me, so I got rid of that one. Astonishing X-Men, written by Joss Whedon. That whole fucking run is amazing, and I've reread that a few times. Let's see. Whatever Happened to the Caped Crusader and Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, I've read a few times. You really can't go wrong with Alan Moore, but I'm dragging on. That's it. I get so much Alan Moore stuff. About what?
I got so much Alan Moore stuff I haven't even touched. I've got all of V for Vendetta I haven't read yet. I've got his 2 issues of Superman crossover that he ended Adventures of Superman with, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right before Crisis?
Yes. Yeah. Those two issues. I've got his entire run on freaking Swamp Thing that I've got to read. But Alan Moore is great. But yeah, just read. I like to read fun books and really interesting crossovers and stuff like that. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's like this is a topic for some for maybe after the show because I could go on.
And I think an extra or something.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely an extra. Mm-hmm. That was a great question, Dr. Pants. Thank you. And you too can leave us a voicemail. And if Dr. Pants is the only one that's going to do this every episode, I encourage him to do it. But other people should do it too by heading to transmissionspodcast.com/feedback. And that's it for feedback this week, Jeremy.
And that's it for the show. Thanks everyone for listening. If you would like to support us and enter the contest for the reissue Starscream, all you have to do is go to transmissionspodcast.com/support. Please also subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Google Play. Actually, that should now be Google Podcasts because Google Play sucks. Also, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And if you want to just talk to us at any point during the week, and
Daryl's phone number is
just go to transmissionspodcast.com/discord. We're always hanging out and other listeners are hanging out. It's a fun place to just sit there and chat. And if you are a Donatrion at the
financial level
at the talk back to me level, you can actually listen to us record the show live. And we have three people here listening. We had a little bit more earlier tonight. So it's a lot of fun. You know, we love it. And we'd love to talk with you. So thanks again for listening. And we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Later.
Thanks for listening to Transmissions. Remember, you can help support the show by donating to us directly via Patreon or PayPal. Once you become a donor, you will receive access to donor-only goodies, like donor-only contests, listening to us record Transmissions live, and getting Transmissions swag at 20% off. You can find links for this at transmissionspodcast.com/support. Subscribing to us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play is also a great way to support us here at Transmissions. Every subscription we get helps us get better noticed on those services. Leaving us a comment and 5-star review doesn't hurt either. Be sure to come chat with us on Discord. You will find a link for Discord at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. And of course, you can always send us an email at feedback@transmissionspodcast.com. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Fuck you, Craig.
Craig is going. My backup. I'm going to restart it. Just so.
Craig's a dildo.
You're hosting? Or who's hosting?
I can host.
Do you have an intro?
We don't have an intro.
We don't have an intro.